Tomorrow marks the anniversary of her first year as the first Arkansan and the first woman to chair the Senate Agriculture Committee. Now, everybody's so mad now, they're just saying, so what? I'll just throw that away. Who cares about that? It's 30% of our state's income, $16 billion, $9 billion in income for 270,000 people. The agriculture chairman also controls the funds which come out for economic development for small towns and rural areas. I know we're in Little Rock, but you hadn't forgotten we got a few of those in Arkansas.
We're all coming.
She has gotten unprecedented amounts of money for clean water, for broadband connection to the internet, for any number of other things that will help all these areas develop as the economy comes back. She saved 700 jobs in the Ozark and Ouachita National Forest. She helped get 400 jobs here in one of the wind turbine plants that Arkansas has attracted. She has gotten the largest grant ever under a federal program to help minority farmers in Arkansas, bigger than any other state who has people trying to hold on to their land. She forced the government, although I'd like to think my government wanted to begin to enforce our trade laws. And it helped to save 1,700 tire manufacturing jobs in Texarkana. You know, we stopped. After I left office, I'm all for trade, but if somebody makes a deal with me, I expect them to keep it. And in order to do that, you got to enforce the law. Trade enforcement dropped 80% after I left office. Now, keep in mind, when these guys want to come back, that's their record. They don't really believe in enforcing the trade laws. She qualified National Guardsmen and Reservists for the GI Bill of Rights and served. Get an education. And she made sure that 50,000 Arkansas small business people qualified for a tax credit to help them afford health insurance under this health care law. Now, in ordinary times, we wouldn't even be here. There'd be no question that somebody that had amassed this kind of record, done this much good, and was in a position to do so much more in the years ahead for our state as well as for our nation, we wouldn't have an election. And yet people are saying, I don't care about that. Why? Because they're mad. And they got a right to be mad. I get it. I grew up here too, remember? I know. There are millions of Americans every day going home at night, looking at their husbands or their wives or their kids and not knowing where the next nickel's coming from. Can they pay the month's bills? Will they be able to make this month's mortgage payments? Feeling like they had failed. We've had millions of people lose their homes. 10 million people plus are living in homes today where the mortgage is worth more than the house is. And they're still bravely trying to make those mortgage payments. The unemployment rate stated is 9.5%, but the truth is it's at least 6-7 points higher than that because there are that many people that have quit looking. And then there's a few million people that have part-time jobs that really need and want full-time jobs. So it's much bigger. So people are mad. They got a right to be mad. And they hire Democrats to fix things. They don't really ever hire us till things are in a mess, and then they hire us to fix them. So the Republicans have said, okay, we put the country in a $3 trillion hole, but they had 21 whole months to fix it. Throw them out. And people are saying, yeah, sounds like a good idea to me. And what do we have? On our side, frankly, we got too much whining. We got people saying, well, I don't know if I'll vote at all because I think there should be more government activity than there is. The stimulus should have been bigger. Health care should have had something else in it. Blanche should have done this, that, and the other thing. I'll just sit it out. No consequence to me. Have you forgotten Newt Gingrich's Congress? We'll get back to that in a minute. But about what they've said they're going to do, you don't have to remember anything. And then the independents say, well, we think they're spending too much money, so we'll vote against all the Democrats. So the Democrats say, we'll stay home and not enough jobs and not enough money being spent. And the independents say, we'll vote against them because they spent too much. And let me just tell you, when there is no demand in the economy, you have to do something like the stimulus. We just had four different independent economists confirm that that stimulus had probably added about 3 million jobs and kept unemployment from being 1.5 points higher than it is. And if you take the stimulus saving the banking system, which was not for Wall Street, it was for Main Street, the biggest car dealer in America stopped financing cars 3 days before that thing was passed. It was going to get to the point where you couldn't go to one of these stores in Little Rock and finance a refrigerator on credit. We were there. So anyway, these four economists, they just studied and said, okay, if you take the stimulus and keeping the financial system afloat and the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates at zero, if they hadn't done those three things, there'd be 8.5 million more people unemployed. Now, we're not asking anybody to stand and cheer or say it's good enough, but what I do want you to know is, in the last 21 months, we were in a hole too deep to dig out of, where it'd be 21 months by election day. But we did stop digging. And I was raised to believe when you're in a hole, the first thing you got to do is to quit digging. Now, it's okay that people are still mad and frustrated and feel helpless, because that's their lives. I get that. But let me ask you something, especially everybody here with gray hair like me. If you've lived long enough, you know that every time in your life you made a decision that was important when you were really mad, there's an 80% chance you made a mistake.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Every one of us can remember something that had not anything to do with politics, where we made a decision we were really mad and it was a real humdinging mistake. Isn't that right? Okay, so what are our problems here? Anger, apathy, and amnesia. And if you get rid of that, it'll be just like it should have been. I don't care. You can move 30 points in 2 weeks in this race if you get rid of anger, apathy, and amnesia and give people to think about what really matters. Now, but the Republicans think that you won't, and it really doesn't matter who they nominate. They want to get as crazy as possible. They have tried. Blanche got whipsawed because she was supposedly too moderate, but the moderates in the Republican Party had been literally assassinated. Senator Murkowski in Alaska, gone. Senator Bennett in Utah, fine man. Gone because he dared to propose his own idea of health care reform. The idea that he even brought it up got him beat. And I could go on and on. They nominated a guy, I couldn't make this up, I just want you to get a feel for what. They nominated a guy for the Senate in Alaska who says that unemployment compensation is unconstitutional. The Constitution requires, though, 10 million people who are drawing unemployment because they can't get a job through no fault of their own. They really ought to be in a breadline somewhere. They nominated a guy for governor in Colorado, the healthiest state in America by all the indexes, partly because they build all their new developments with sidewalks and have all these bike lanes and stuff. And our nominee there is the mayor of Denver, so they asked his opponent, they said, well, what do you think about the mayor of Denver and all these bike lanes he's put up? He said, it's a conspiracy by the United Nations to take away sovereignty from the U.S. of the state of Colorado. I can't make this up, folks. I ain't smart enough to make this up. That's what the guy said. He's their nominee. They just picked a nominee in Florida who ran a company, a health care company, that while he was running it, committed the largest fraud on Medicare in the history of America, They ripped Medicare off, you, the taxpayer, off for $1.7 billion. But he had the most extremist rhetoric. They said, who cares if he stole $1.7 billion from the government? Make him our nominee for governor. And, you know, they put some pretty humdinging folks up here, too. Vic Snyder painted an amazing picture of the candidate for Congress here that has been carefully airbrushed by some of the local media. Maybe they'll do different now. But now Blanche's opponent is not saying much now. Have you noticed that? That's because he's dependent on you to be mad and or apathetic and under any circumstances to have amnesia. And if so, he doesn't have to say a thing. In fact, anything he says is going to hurt him. So he hopes that you will forget that he sponsored a bill to get rid of the federal income tax, which has people like me with higher incomes to pay more than people with lower incomes, and replace it with a 23% national sales tax we'd all have to pay. That he voted for a Republican budget to privatize Medicare. That since he first ran for Congress, he said we should privatize Social Security. That he voted against giving tax cuts to companies to hire unemployed workers, but for protecting the tax cuts of companies that move the jobs overseas. Now, this is who they are. This whole deal is about making Mr. Boehner the Speaker of the House and Senator McConnell the Majority Leader. Mr. Boehner was on good terms with Jack Abramoff, the disgraced and now jail lobbyist that bought a lot of favors for his clients in the Congress. I'll never forget in 1995, the man they want to make Speaker was handing out, laughing about it, handing out tobacco company checks, lobbyist checks on the floor of the House of Representatives. These people are going to free us of special interests and start something new? No, this is about you being angry or apathetic and having amnesia. Now, look, I love this state and I love my country, and I'm not running for anything. But I know this. There's only two things that matter here. One is that you elect somebody that's not an ideologue. You elect somebody who is a practical, progressive problem solver that knows what ordinary people's lives are like and what it's like trying to make a living out here in this economy, who is not impervious to evidence. I'm not against anybody having a philosophy, whether it's conservative, liberal, or somewhere in between. We all should have a philosophy. But you can have a philosophy and still listen to the other person. If you're an ideologue, you've got your mind made up and the evidence is irrelevant. That's who they are. They know what they're going to do. It doesn't matter what the facts are. And the second thing is that you ask the right question. If this election's about apathy and anger and amnesia, we're all toast. And America will pay a grievous price. But if we can just get people to take a deep breath and own their anger, but ask the right question, which is, what are we going to do now, and who is more likely to do it? Then Blanche Lincoln will win this thing going away. So, here's my take. Here's what we got to do now. Number one, the economy is still too flat, not because we spent too much, but because we couldn't spend enough. They left us with a $3 trillion hole. The stimulus was $800 billion. Right? And only a third of it, about $270 billion, went to create jobs. The other two-thirds were aid to state and local governments to keep everybody hired without having to raise taxes because they can't print money. And tax cuts for moderate-income people so they could keep going to the grocery store and keep the local grocer open. Remember what it was like. Of the third that was used to create jobs, every single independent evaluation says it's created more jobs than it was estimated to create. And a lot of them are just now coming on, and we're going to benefit from it for 20 years into the future. So I think it's a good thing that Blanche got $3 billion more in the stimulus to make sure that rural states like Arkansas got their fair share so they could benefit for 20 years into the future. Now, but all we did was quit digging. We're not out of the hole. So what should we do? Here's what I think we should do. First of all, if you can't have another stimulus, you've got to find some money somewhere. And we need to be like Willie Sutton. He robbed banks because that's where the money was. The banks of America have $1.8 trillion in cash uncommitted to loans, which means at very conservative rules, they could loan $18 trillion tomorrow, and this whole global recession be over in a nanosecond. Now, there's not $18 trillion worth of good loan demand, but there's a lot more than zero. We need to figure out what it would take, whether it's loan guarantees, whatever it is, and help these banks get back in the lending business. That's the first thing we got to do. Second thing is, American corporations, including a lot of them based right here in Arkansas, have $1.6 trillion in the bank that they could invest in creating new jobs and new business opportunities for the future. We need to figure out what they're worried about and fix it. And the third thing we need to do is do more of what Governor Beebe's been doing, recruiting these international companies to come to Arkansas to put up these windmill factories and do things like that. There's plenty of money out there. Before you give up on America and think that everything's all amiss, don't forget, interest rates are still nearly zero with all this deficit spending, and most foreign countries think that we're still a pretty good bet for the future. So we got to go get the money. The second thing we got to do is figure out where the jobs of tomorrow are. One of the biggest problems in the last 8 years is they didn't have a source of new jobs. Don't forget that before this financial meltdown, after 22.7 million jobs in my 8 years, in the 7 years and 8 months that followed, there were only 2.5 million, only 10% as many. Before the meltdown, we had gone through 7 months of losing jobs before the meltdown. Fuck, we didn't have any new jobs. We know where they are. They're in small business. They're in our opportunity now, historic, to bring back manufacturing to America and in new clean energy jobs, like the ones you've been getting in Arkansas. There are millions and millions and millions of jobs out there. We have to target those. That's why this small business initiative to provide more credits and faster write-offs is a good thing. And it may not mean a lot now because if you never thought about it, but making the research and experimentation tax credit permanent, what that will really do is bring us more manufacturing jobs because more and more of these manufacturers want their research to be done where they're making things. So, and I can tell you, I do this all over the world now in my foundation. There are millions more energy jobs we could get in this country. Governor Beebe's HEAL program, which we helped, my foundation helped him put together, which allows all these contractors to go back to work retrofitting buildings and then pay it off only through utility savings. That's just an example of what we should be doing everywhere in America. So that's where the jobs are. The third thing is, what are we going to do about the workers? Now, I'm going to tell you something most people in this audience probably didn't notice last month. When the unemployment figures came out at 9.6%, we created some more jobs, but the census people got laid off. The most stunning thing that was in that report got almost no notice. And it was that job openings are occurring twice as fast as job hires. It has never happened in a recession since World War II when we've been keeping up. This has never happened. And I'll tell you what it means. If we were hiring people for jobs that had been posted, where they'll hire you tomorrow, if we were hiring as fast as we were when I was president, in the slowdown period, when I first took office, there would be 5 million more people working, and the unemployment rate would drop immediately from 9.5 to 6.8. Now, what caused that? It's true that there are some jobs there's 1,000 applicants for. It's true we had two medical residencies in South Arkansas that there were 330 doctors apply for. That's all true. But there are millions of jobs that are begging because of two things. One is it's hard for people to move now if they live in a house where the mortgage is worth more than the house. They can't afford to get out. But by far the bigger problem is too many people dropped out of college in the last decade because it was too expensive or they had family problems. and they cut back on training funds to help people train for these jobs. Now, this is not what anybody talks about in this election, but I'm telling you, Blanche Lincoln's a committee chairman. She can get a list of every single posted job in Arkansas that has not been filled in 2 weeks and have somebody analyze how many of those people haven't been hired because of the skills gap and get the money either to the local community college or to the employer to do the training and hire the people. Now, that's the kind of thing we need to do. And all this hot air doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Now, do we need to worry about the deficit? Yeah. Let me just run through this again. The national debt quadrupled in the 12 years before I took office. I gave you four surpluses, my last four budgets, and paid $600 billion down on the debt. And if they left my budget alone, we'd be out of debt by 2015. Now, okay, now wait a minute. But no, they fought two wars, passed the Medicare drug benefit, gave people in my income group five tax cuts, and repealed the budget rules that require you to pay for what you spend, all before the meltdown, and double the debt of the country again. The stuff in the stimulus will go away from the deficit as soon as there's growth again. So do we need to get rid of that? You bet we do. But there is a commission meeting which the Congress approved and the President appointed, a bipartisan commission. The co-chairman was my chief of staff, Erskine Bowles, who spent 20 years starting new businesses, was the president of the University of North Carolina, and will give us a fair plan. We got to do it. But if you tried to implement what they're going to recommend tomorrow, it wouldn't balance the budget because we don't have enough taxpayers. And businesses don't have enough income. You don't pay taxes if you don't have income. So, yes, we have to do it, but we have to do it in the right order, in the right way. So that's what I do. I'd go where the money is and get more of it. I'd concentrate on small business, manufacturing, and clean energy. And I'd find some way to get every one of those people trained for every posted job opening in America and work with the commission to get a good deficit reduction plan to go back to a balanced budget. That's what we have to do. It doesn't have anything to do with all this hot air you keep reading about. So Blanche has proved that she cares about the deficit. She's proved that she cares about improving things. She drove the right and the left crazy because she actually read the health care bill and tried to work with it. Oh, we can't have that. You have to have the politically correct position. I didn't agree with her on every issue, by the way. That's not the point. I want people thinking up there. I'm not right all the time either. Nobody is. So what are we going to do? Here's what the Republicans have promised you they will do if you vote for them. Instead of improving health care, they will repeal it. Why do they want to do that? Because the insurance companies run health care now. And there is a provision in that bill that nearly no one noticed that requires 85% of every dollar you pay in health insurance now to go to health care and not something else. And they don't want that. Do we need to improve it? Yes, we do. It'll take work for 5 or 6 years. It's a big, complicated subject. But if you repeal it, I'm telling you, I do this now, work all over the world, and business friends of mine in Europe and Asia and Latin America, they ask me, people that love America say, I really don't think America's serious about being the leading country of the 21st century. And I say, why? And they said, because you're paying $1 trillion more for health care than you would pay if you had any other system in the world. And you're not getting healthier people for it. You can't possibly be serious about being competitive. The Republicans are serious. They're their constituents. They're giving them the money in this campaign to run these ads and to Barry Blanche and every other Democrat they can get their hands on. You need to think about that. You want to make it better? Fine. You got a lot of look, I'm from New York now, where we have a lot of immigrants who aren't covered by the health care bill, and we got rid of that disproportionate share payment to hospitals like the University Medical Center here. It's fine if everybody they're going to treat is now going to be insured. It's a disaster if people are still going to show up and not be insured. There are problems with this. It's too complicated to do without making mistakes. But it's a good beginning, and that's all it is. And we got to keep working. They want to repudiate the rest of the stimulus. we're just getting to the good part that will create jobs for 20 years. They want to repeal the student loan bill and make it more expensive to go to college again, because their constituents all have a college degree and they'll get more money out of it and government handouts for nothing. This is what they have said they're going to do. I'm not putting words in my mouth. And virtually all of them, as I said, are for privatizing Social Security and Medicare. They presented a budget as if it's just great by Representative Ryan of Wisconsin. He's their new hero, their great idea man. His idea of a good budget is to freeze all domestic spending, which in 10 years means a 25% reduction in real dollars for education. Where are you going to get that training money to put those people to work if we don't have any training money? Meanwhile, he proposes to give me a lot more tax cuts. Listen to this. 117% of the tax cuts in the Republican budget that they're bragging about go to only 5% of us. The other 95% are going to get, they're going to get a tax increase. They don't tell you that. They just tell you what they're cutting. We got to privatize Medicare. We got to privatize Social Security. And I got to give Bill Clinton a whole lot more money. The poor man can hardly pay his bills, you know. And besides, we know that people that have been really fortunate don't care about anybody else and have no responsibilities in America. That's their budget. They don't tell you that. An independent analysis says it wouldn't reduce the deficit any more than the path we're on now. It just guts the government and gives the money back to the incomes of higher income people. That's what they promised us. And you know what else they promised us? You in Arkansas ought to appreciate it. Lots more investigations. 2 years of investigations. There have been 3 or 4 articles where they quoted, gloating, saying, people are so mad now, we can say whatever we want. They'll never wake up before the election. We are going to spend all this money. I'll tell you something. President Obama gave strict instructions that notwithstanding all the special interest shenanigans that went on the last 8 years, he did not want Congress to waste 1 minute investigating the Bush administration. He wanted to go to work building America. They want to waste most of the next 2 years investigating Democrats. And you think you're mad now. How are you going to feel? Remember what they did? They spent 140 hours of your time investigating my Christmas card list. Now, I'm not saying, I'm just telling you what they promised. This is what's in their program. So if you agree with me about what we need to do, there's no question about who the person is who's most likely to do it. The most likely person to do it is the person that made herself the first woman chairman of the Agriculture Committee, the first Arkansan to chair the Agriculture Committee. A person who's proved she knows how to create jobs. A person who actually reads bills and tries to figure out how to make them better. A person who, unlike them, does not want to repeal the financial regulations law that will keep us from getting in that mess all over again. That's right. That's the last thing I want to tell you. They are committed to less oversight. They liked it when nobody was watching the store. Now, like I said, we did quit digging. If you don't reelect her, when her opponent is sworn into the United States Senate, he'll have one hand on the Bible and he'll be holding a shovel in the other hand. And they are on record as saying that. Now, there's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed with what's right with America. Our best days can still be ahead of us. But we must wipe away the anger, the apathy, and the amnesia. Share the anger. Tell people we get to vote every 2 years. If we're wrong, they can vote us all out next time. But for goodness sakes, don't bring back the shovel brigade. You got a woman here who has produced for you over and over and over and over again, and who never says no, never shuts the door, always thinks we can do better. It would be a terrible mistake to squander something that I personally have waited all my life to see. Somebody who could get Arkansas its fair share and rural America its fair share of America's economic bounty and get us all going together again. Senator Blanche Lincoln.